possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Going on right now, I'm chatting with someone who I listen to his voice so much. So many times people have come up to me in shows and been like, man, it's so weird to talk with you. It's I hear your voice on Metal Shop and I hear your voice on Loud and Local. And I got to say, it's the same way. I listen to the X-Men all the time when I'm at my day job. So I'm talking with Doc Coyle. As you see, he's in the band Bad Wolves. He was in the band God Forbid, and he does a very successful podcast called the X-Man Podcast. So welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, it is an experience because I'm a huge purveyor of podcasts and I'm a huge fan and I listen to a lot of people too. So it's probably pretty rare where I've listened to someone, but I didn't know them personally. So it's like, you know, it is that thing when you're someone's in your head. It's an interesting thing.
What are some of your favorite podcasts? What do you listen to?
It really depends like what vibe I'm in. I mean, lately, you know, like Bill Simmons podcast.
Yep. Yes.
Because 9 times out of 10, I'm looking for stuff that's just kind of going to get my mind off of all the BS. So it's his podcast. It's like NBA and like pop culture and things like that. They also have another one called The Rewatchables on
Great
there,
podcast. Right? Yeah.
Really big fan of 538, which is like kind of politics analysis. What I've been listening to lately, the New York Times is
with Michael Barbaro.
Yeah, some good voices over there. I listen to a lot of different podcasts. It really depends when, you know, my list is like.
So you've had a podcast for quite a while now, and were you a listener of podcasts before you even started your own?
Yeah, I mean, I could say to some degree, listening to podcasts and my entry point was, you know, my best friend turned me on to Mark Maron's podcast, WTF. And then I got into Bill Burr and then Joe Rogan. So it was really stemmed out of this comedian community going back to around 2009, 2010, which for the podcast era is pretty early on.
That's the Podfathers right there. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And for me, and I guess in some ways, it kind of changed my life. It changed the way I thought about things, especially in those, you know, WTF. He would just really get in deep with these comedians. And it was such, the thing I found fascinating about the medium was how intimate it was and that people would reveal things about themselves. And so it became almost like this learning tool to like study successful people or, you know, in Rogan's case, you know, back then, just having these conversations with people about whether it's psychedelics or kind of space or these really kind of broad-minded things. And, you know, you really felt like you got to know people and get deep in a way on subject matter in a way that wasn't available in any other forum.
Well, so you have the X-Man podcast. So if you're listening to this now and you don't subscribe to the X-Man podcast, I would highly suggest you do that. So I kind of wanted to ask about this. Is we're kind of shifting into the world where, you know, tours are starting back up again. But this must have been, I'm assuming, probably the longest you've probably been home and off the road for quite a while. I know there was a time after God Forbid where, you know, you were doing some smaller projects, but, you know, you were off the road. But is this the longest you've been off the road since Bad Wolves started and whatnot?
It's got to be like, no, I didn't tour from, I'd say, December 2012. Oh, no, 2013, excuse me, until January 2016.
Okay.
So it's about 3 years. I didn't tour. I did a tour on Earth. Mm-hmm. Before I moved to California, and then kind of right before I joined Bad Wolves, I toured with Maytal okay. Cohen, the female drummer, and with Queensryche. So I mean, to some degree, in that period, I had to learn almost how to be off the road, because I was touring for so long that you get a bit institutionalized by the lifestyle. So in many ways, I'm comfortable being a domesticated individual, but I definitely feel at home on the road too.
Was that hard at first? Were you feeling like antsy? Like, I kind of need to go out to the shows and be in the scene and like be in the element? Or did it take a while to kind of adjust to civilian life, quote unquote?
Well, all that stuff is great, being around the scene, just being involved. I love it. But I think the truth is the tour life is the best kind of escape mechanism for normal life. You can like all the BS, you know, I gotta go food shopping, I gotta go to the dentist, all this the nitty-gritty of day-to-day life. So it's in many ways, and I think it can become kind of a crutch, because it's not the real world, right? It's like, oh, here's sound check, here's dinner time, here's lunchtime. Everything is so regimented. Mm-hmm. it kind of allows you to kind of just have to worry about a few things, which is, I got to play the show, I got to do the meet and greet. And it's a very simplified existence. But unfortunately, I think, especially if you get really successful, you can become, I don't know, a lot of people, it's infantilizing as well, when you have people kind of doing everything for you and kind of telling you where to be. So it's being home and just being your own person is, I think, imperative for just kind of adult development, you know? Yep. So it's a little bit of me. That period was like eating my vegetables, of having that need to get on the road and escape from everything and going, no, do the work.
Be present. You know,
exactly. Be present.
Yep. Oh man. That's good. I didn't, I know I've talked to a couple people that, over this past 16 months or so, that they were like so anxious to get back on the road. Were you comfortable, you know, with this last 17 months? Were you able to keep yourself sane and busy? And I mean, I know you got the podcast and probably writing new music, I'm assuming.
I certainly was never at any point going, hey, I don't have anything to do. It was a really busy time. Bad Wolves, right away, we got involved with this Patreon page, and we were creating a lot of content for that and doing live streaming stuff. And I got hired to do this other show, Last Words, which I was doing once a week. And then on top of that, doing my show. And I also do just tons of projects. You know, I did a few of those cover songs that, did some of those, and I'm always getting asked to do this thing and do that thing. And so, listen, I think to me, the difficult thing about the pandemic was just the lack of regular stuff happening. I mean, just those regular outlets, not even just me going on tour, but I live in Los Angeles where, you know, before the pandemic, there's a show every night.
Yep.
So if you want to go out and experience that, that's there. If you want to go to a comedy show, that's there. If you want to go to the movies, that's there. It's a incredible, you know, like most metropolitan areas, there's just everything going on, and that energy dissipating was just tough. And also I think there was just a monotony to it. Mm-hmm. I think that was difficult as well. But I mean, I got COVID last year, and then I got back surgery, and then I moved, and it was, and then the band, you know, the split happened in January. So trust me, there was never a time of that, that something kind of very challenging. I also, you know, I lost my father this year. Thank you. So it's been, I think in many ways, just the greater challenge of getting through this period of time. And we're all have to all figure that out on our own is fairly collective. I wouldn't say my experience is any more difficult than anyone's else, because it's been quite something. But with that said, I mean, even though there's cancellations happening, you're hearing about all this difficulties with the Delta strain, I'm definitely much happier to be in the position we are now than we were 6 or 8 months ago.
Absolutely, man. And you know, I've had some communication just today. I was texting with my friend who's out on the road right now, and it's like a bigger tour. And I was just curious, like, what's it like right now? What's it like being on the road? And he was just saying, it's kind of wacky, you know, like there's like certain rules, like the band can't go out in the crowd. No one's allowed backstage unless, you know, they're vaccinated or their family or whatever, you know, certain different rules. You know, on some tours, like you have to have a rapid test before you even go on the bus. Have you gone to any shows yet? Like where masks are mandated or anything like that? Have you gone to anything yet?
Not really. I've literally gone to maybe, I want to say, 3 or 4 shows. Mm-hmm. And it's 2 of those were like local LA at this one bar that started having some shows. And then I was in Fort Wayne, Indiana, not that long ago when Gemini Syndrome came through. So I went to that show, and that's Indiana, which is one of the reddest states in the country. So there's no mandates or anything like that. But truth be told, I mean, I am vaccinated and I do feel safe. Like I'm not and I know even though the variant makes it more likely that someone like myself could get sick, I know that even if I do get COVID because of the vaccine, that the effect, you know, it's not going to hit me quite as hard as it would have otherwise. And I kind of feel like that's the best defense we have. So if you're kind of fortified in that way, then at some point you got to decide whether you're going to go out in the world or not. But I mean, if there's a show like Wolfgang Van Halen was supposed to play out here.
I saw that.
And his show got postponed, but that show I know was going to be masked. So I'm kind of like, whatever the place I go, whatever their rules are, I will follow those rules. And hopefully, you know, we get past this period of this variant kind of tearing things up, and then we can move past that. But I, you know, I know people get frustrated by the fact that, okay, things are opened up and these are the rules one day. The CDC gives these guidelines and it changes, but it's like, yeah, but we're dealing with something that is crazy. So it's, you know, it's someday time it's going to be 2 steps forward, 1 step back. And, you know, and I can sit here and run the laundry list and say who's at fault or who, but that's not really going to help anything right now. Everyone has their beliefs, and I'm certainly not going to be the one to, I don't think, move too many minds. So let's, you know, just give my little opinion. But, you know, hopefully, but I do think it's a better compromise to say, hey, get a test or get vaccinated so we can, the show can go on, as opposed to people canceling tours, which I think is detrimental when you're talking about the people who have to earn a living and these clubs I want to stay open. So it's like, that's the compromise that we have to do sometimes.
Absolutely, man. I mean, I couldn't have said it better for myself. I keep saying, you know, like, it's not ideal to like go to a hardcore show with a mask on, but you know, if it's keeping my friends at the venue and the owners and the bands out on the road and keeping people, you know, with their jobs and their livelihoods, let's, you know, it's all good. And then, you know, when we get those third shots, just shoot me up. 4th shot, 5th shot, you just keep me going, man.
I mean, if it's something like the flu shot, then I get my flu shot every 6 months. So it's there, not like go. I'm, you know, it's not anything I'm worried about. But yeah, it's an inconvenience. And I think I have faith in the idea that it's temporary and we'll eventually move forward. So
I look forward to a time where COVID isn't a topic of conversation during interviews. That'll be awesome.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's this, the last time this happened was 100 years ago. So, I mean, pretty monumental. I think disregarding the monumental nature of it is a little kind of naive. Yeah. I think it's important to go, hey, this thing shut down the world. Let's give that the gravity it deserves. It's kind of like 9/11, right? Like that was something that it was a year or two before it didn't feel so fresh in our minds, and it changed our lives kind of forever, like the way we travel.
Yep.
So many different things, our entire, you know, like, so look what's going on in Afghanistan last week. I mean,
yep,
that's a result of 9/11. We're still living 20. With the, yeah, like the kind of the, you know, the results of those actions. And I think COVID is even bigger than that, because it affected literally everybody.
Absolutely, man. So you guys, your band, Bad Wolves, you guys did a new transition. You have a new vocalist, Daniel, let me try his last name, D.L. Laskowitz. Okay. So Daniel Laskowitz, one of the founding members of Acacia Strain, new vocalist of Bad Wolves. I was curious, did he like help produce the band in the past, or did he help you guys write some music? How did you guys decide on him?
He top lined a chorus. So I mean, and top lining is an industry term for, he helped write a vocal line for a chorus. So it was a song off the last record. I'm gonna forget the name of it. But anyway, so yeah, he chipped in. So he's basically been producing, writing for other bands for years. That's pretty much why he left Acacia Strain. He started a family, and he wanted to focus on his career as a producer and songwriter. And so he did the last All That Remains record. He did Last Unearthed record. So pretty big bands.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had done vocals for a band called Legend, done melodic vocals. And I had heard he had a cover of the Skeleton Song by Seven Dust on YouTube. He actually took it down. But I knew, it was funny when all this went down, he was definitely in the back of my head, but he was probably the first person we were in contact with when the split happened, and he sent us something really early. So he was kind of the front runner.
Yeah.
It was almost like the saying of like, man, we got this dude right out the gate, that it's not that it's necessarily going to be tough to beat, but it's like the bar. We already know, like, if we ended up with this dude, we already know we're doing pretty good. And we went through a lengthy process of auditioning a lot of people through like having them just send music. And then we whittled it down to like six people that we saw in person. Cause you know, anyone can sound good in the studio. So, you know, and then we did that process and kind of whittled it down to like three. And then we brought in a few people to sing on some new tracks. And it was a unanimous decision between us and the management.
That's awesome, man. Well, congratulations. And it's kind of a good situation to be in with the fact that Bad Wolves has such a big name. Your album did so well. And also, you know, we have some downtime right now, you know, based on the pandemic, and you were able to get some time to work on that. And have you guys recorded the new album yet?
Yeah, everything's done.
Okay.
It's been done for, I don't know, a month or so. Okay. And but listen, it was quite a process. And we started writing the record pretty much at the beginning of the pandemic. We had an entire year of touring on the books. We had a record that came out, you know, about 5-6 months before the pandemic started. And so we got right to work. And then when the split happened in January, we had to kind of reconfigure material that already existed, but then also wrote a bunch of different other things as well. And so pretty much from January through, you know, I'd say like 6 weeks ago, we were working really hard on the music. And it's, I mean, I think it's unbelievable. I think it's going to be, I think it's the best album that the band has made. I think, you know, in some ways, you know, cause I don't think we're touring at least this year, but it's kind of cool though. We'll have a record out this year, and people will really be able to just judge the band on the music, you know, just kind of live with that. And that'll be, and I really think it'll speak for itself.
Awesome, man. Well, I look forward to hearing it, and look forward to hearing the new vocalist. When you're a part of something that is so, you know, blown up in the metal world of this like big drama that people seem to perceive, they know the story of or whatever, and there's all this, you know, news reporting and all this stuff, and probably comments from either sides, you know, fans wise and stuff. Do you ever just have to like turn your phone off and be like, yo, dude, like I need to step away from this. It's just too much.
I mean, we've all done that at certain points where you just delete the social media off your phone. I mean, we've been straight up harassed. I mean, by people and targeted in a really disgusting way. And something that's really, you know, I've been doing this 20 years, and obviously social media has probably only existed for, you know, maybe about 2/3 of that time. Mm-hmm. But I don't think any of us ever saw ourselves in a position where you'd have to kind of have like rhetorical battles with people that are supposed to be your fans. Right. No, it's been, I'd say it's been almost one of the most difficult things any of us have ever had to deal with. But my mentality is, in to some degree, the larger the challenge you're dealing with, if you can get through it, if you can manage it, then that you're going to be that much stronger of an individual. It's like, not that I'm a fighter or anything, but I imagine you're a fighter, but okay, I'm seeing this technique, and then I fight someone and they have a new tech. I haven't seen that. Now it like that, even though it screws you up and beats you up, you're learning more about you know, so it's like this thing of like, okay, now I know this is a possibility in life.
Yep.
And these are things I might have to deal with. So I always look at tough times, and to some degree, and I don't know if a lot of people do this, but sometimes I almost thank the universe for tough times. Cause I'm like, thank you for this challenge, because, you know, when you get too comfortable, when you get too, you're eating too good and everything's too nice, it's like that. Those are almost scary times to me, because I'm like, when is the other shoe going to drop? Because life is always going to hand you tough stuff, and you have to stay on top of your feet. So I'm embracing that pushback. And it's also very motivating to me when someone comes and tells me I'm going to fail. It like, it's as we call in basketball or any sport, bulletin board material. It's the kind of stuff that gets me up in the morning. You know, it is like, because it's very, that's kind of rare in music, unless you're a really, really popular artist, right? You're Justin Bieber and everyone tells you, I hate you. But when you're, you know, in the metal community, it's rare people are going to go out of their way to tell you that they suck until you get big.
Well, I mean, like you are a big band. You guys are a big band, but I think you come from a unique perspective, because, you know, you come from the like metalcore scene and like the New Jersey hardcore and metal scene, and you guys grinded it. Like you guys were like road warriors and like in the bus. And, you know, I saw you guys at Studio 7, you know, I saw these weren't like huge, you know, shows. They were pretty, you know, pretty like ground level, like bad. I mean, they were big for what they were. But it wasn't, you know, a stadium rock show like you guys are playing now. So, you know, do you think that really being down and gritty and like being from that, like kind of that, like more like underground metal, did that prepare you a lot for the adversity of the music scene on the higher level?
I don't know. I think it's so different. I think when you're doing those more underground shows and, I don't know. I think there's just less pressure. Maybe it's definitely a comfort zone, right? You're playing super heavy stuff and you kind of know the audience, and the whole Bad Wolves experience has been very eye-opening, but also I just kind of appreciate every step of it, because I know how difficult it is to get your band to a certain size where you can, you know, sell out a House of Blues or something. And those are, you know, some of the bigger bands on the heavier side, that's what they do. So when we get to go out and do these arena tours and things like that, like I never at any second took it for granted. How lucky we were to have those opportunities and go, this is a cool thing.
This catering is amazing.
Dude, I mean, that's a real thing. Cause things like that affect your day-to-day happiness. Like you don't really think of that. Oh, I have good nutrition. I can, you know, I can eat well, and I can, things like that affect your entire like health. In general. And like, that's not a small thing. That's a huge thing when you have great catering and have access to things like that, on smaller tours, when you know, if you're eating pizza every night, not only are you physically going to feel like, but then it's going to mentally make you, not really fulfilled either. So all that stuff. And, you know, I don't really delve too much into like the whole like paying dues thing, but what I do is just really hone into like, this is really cool. We're really lucky. And the thing of it may not last, you know, And so you do everything you can to make it last, but you just got to go and work. And, but I don't know, man, even like I said, if I never go on tour ever again, I pretty much accomplished all my goals, you know, to in many degrees. So, and that's it's a beautiful thing. I think at a certain point, you know, in my youth, I realized that when you stop being desperate for things, they come to you actually way easier. Mm-hmm. And so once I stopped like needing it, and all of a sudden things started happening in a weird way. I wasn't dependent on that feeling or that validation.
Well, you weren't too thirsty.
Yeah. And that, but dude, young bands often, it's like they sign the wrong deal because mm-hmm. they want it too bad. They get with the wrong manager because they need it. They go on tour too early. And the truth is the industry preys on minds like that, people that, oh, they need this record deal. They're desperate. So we'll give them this record deal possible because we know they'll take it.
Right, man. Well, you dropping knowledge on us, man. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. So, you know, I am curious. So I wanted to bring it back a little bit to just a couple questions about God Forbid. So I did mention, I saw you guys at Studio 7, you know, a bunch of times, and El Corazon and whatnot. Tons of bands are doing reunion, Shadows Fall, doing that stuff. Do you guys get approached, you know, because I talked to the bassist from Botch, and I said, how often do you guys get approached for reunions? And he's like, it's honestly on like a like an 11 month, you know, rotation. How often do you guys get, you know, hit up to do reunions?
Truth be told, we never got hit up. The only thing I heard, it was like maybe a few years back. Actually, okay, there was one kind of an offer a few years back to do something in Jersey. And then maybe a year or two before that, I swear to God, like this guy, Joe Hardcore, maybe mentioned us doing
this Hardcore Fest. Yeah.
Yeah. Doing something with that. But I don't, it was never like an official offer. And then about 3 months ago, we got a real offer to do a European tour with Dark Stour. So that's like the first real thing. It's just more I've seen in the last 6 months, you know, just there's been kind of a groundswell on the internet or like in comment sections. I see there seems to be a bit of a more of a fervor now than there was a couple of years ago.
I think it's because people are cooped up inside and they're going through their old CD books.
I mean, like, maybe, oh. I mean, yeah, maybe that. I think just also being disbanded for X amount of time, the kind of the longer you're away, the more, you know, goes. And I think, you know, that nostalgia kind of thing, you got to, you know, nostalgia needs to, it needs to take a certain amount of time to kind of come full circle. But, you know, we'll see with that. It's definitely something I've always said I'm not, opposed to it.
Okay.
And any opportunities that make sense, you know, but my approach with God Forbid was always in the last, you know, since the band is disbanded, was like making sure the relationships were good. And, and cause that ultimately is way more important to me than shows or albums or any of that, is that, you know, we were a family and we're people that cared about each other tremendously. And that's something beautiful. And that's something you can't replicate those experiences currently. You know, you only get that one time when you're 25 and you're doing your first Ozfest and things like that, and we share that together, and it's a really cool thing. And musically, I think we did some really cool things, and it's wonderful to just be kind of part of that history.
Cool, man. All right, well, I've now come to the portion of the interview where I'm going to throw out some non-linear random questions, if you don't mind.
Okay.
So you guys are a Jersey band, and we all know the big four of American thrash metal: Megadeth, Slayer, Anthrax, Metallica. In your opinion, what's your personal big four of New Jersey music?
Of New Jersey music? We're just going music.
Music. It could be rock. It could be hip hop. It could be, you know, metal, hardcore.
I probably got to keep it within the scene I was in. I think once you get too broad, it's like, if you don't put Bon Jovi, you're kind of being weird. I mean, probably for me, it's probably, you know, E-Town, Concrete.
Okay.
Dillinger Escape Plan, My Chemical Romance. I'm trying to think who would be number four. Probably Symphony X.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. And I'm sure I'm probably leaving out a bunch of bands that are New Jersey adjacent or have some connection. That's just off the dome.
I like it.
The E-Town is like the Kings of Jersey. Yep. If you don't know
Mandibles.
Exactly. That's right. It's your jaw.
You know, certain E-Town songs I'll sing along with. There are certain words I cannot sing along with. So I cannot. It was a different time. Exactly. It's a different time. Okay, man. So you have a bunch of action movies behind you. What is an underrated action film people need to check out?
So it's funny. I did a podcast with Mark Hunter from Chimera, and we had this specific conversation. I'm trying to remember what I said from that one, but there's this one actually with the late Paul Walker.
Okay.
Called Running Scared. And there's actually
about that.
There's another Running Scared with Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines from like the early '80s. This is a different, it's not a sequel, it's just used the same title. And it's kind of like a chase movie where he's like on the run. Really cool movie, but I feel like a lot of people don't know about it. One I think is kind of under, like, because there's so many movies like this have been coming out, these kind of John Wick-esque movies, is Atomic Blonde.
Oh, that was a good movie. That was fun. Yeah.
I just love the way it's shot. So the guy who was the stunt coordinator on John Wick actually directed Atomic Blonde. And I love the music and the way it's shot. It's like very 80s aesthetic, you know, Soviet Union. Trying to think of something that's underrated.
I'm looking forward to seeing that movie Pig. I haven't seen that one yet.
I've heard things. I've heard
good. Nicolas Cage. I haven't seen it
yet, though. But. You haven't seen it yet. I've heard good things. I mean, pretty much anything Nick Cage does these days seems to be
exactly. Great.
You just got to be in the right mood for it.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way, and I really appreciate the Suicide Squad that came out.
That was dope. Yeah.
Got some really tremendous action set pieces, you know, in a weird way. But I have these very kind of definitive mindsets about action, because I love action films, but I actually kind of hate the way most action films use action in modern times, which is like, you know, you watch like a Fast and Furious movie and they're just blowing stuff up.
Yep.
There's like, so here's what I don't like. I don't like when you have like just faceless, nameless bad guys, like just endless, where they get shot and you don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of sick of like during a gunfight and like your hero would like just jump out in the middle and start shooting everyone. I'm like, well, why, logically, like, why don't they get hit? Like, mathematically,
yeah.
Even if you're shooting randomly, you got to get hit, right? So I don't like films that, not that I don't like the films, I just feel like it's a flaw of modern action movies where it's like, basically, I say all modern action movies are superhero movies because you're John Wick ain't gonna die. Like, they're not. He's gonna kill 600 assassins in one movie. And it's like what we've learned from all these MMA fights is that everyone eventually loses.
Yeah.
But not in these movies. And so like the best films it's like Die Hard, where you feel vulnerable. You feel like he could die at any time, or the original Predator, where it's like the whole team gets killed and it's just Arnold and he barely wins.
Or Rocky and he loses, you know.
Well, Rocky I don't consider an action film.
Okay.
But I mean, or like one of my favorite films is Drive.
Yeah.
Because it's not like action packed from top to bottom, but every time there is action and there's violence, it has impact and it has weight and you feel it. It's that in the real world, violence is really, really matters. Mm-hmm. And so when you don't give it weight in a film, I feel like it just becomes kind of like a video game.
Fair enough. Yeah. Just like one of those games where you're just like random non-playable characters, beat them all up. And you got to give it more weight. I agree. So
yeah, and there's a lot of films I like that do that stuff, but I wish they would do it less. So,
All right. So my next random question, dude. So as a bald guy myself, I have a hairline story. So I used to have long hair and then I just noticed it to go. And I was like, okay, I go to so many metal shows. I can't be the guy with the skullet. When did you decide you need to shave it? Was there a point where you woke up and you're like, man, I got to take care of this?
No, I started shaving my head when I was 21 years old and I wasn't losing my hair at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't
you
really
chose the bald life.
Yeah. And around 2005, I was like, oh, let me maybe try and grow my hair out a little bit. And I noticed it was thinning a little bit on the top.
Okay.
And that's where, so if you look at it, there's some thinning on the top. So it was a thing where it's like, it kind of sucks. Cause if I feel like if I grew it out, you probably wouldn't see it too much. I could probably get away with it.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know, it's not really worth it. So I'm just going to stick with it.
Fair enough, man. Well, you know, you did that thing. What was that Seinfeld episode where, you know, Elaine loves the guy with the shaved head. And then, you know, she thinks that like he chose to shave his head or no, he chose to shave his head. And when he tries to grow his hair out, he realizes that he's balding. And so then he's not a badass anymore. So he starts wearing sweaters and like listening to NPR because he's not.
Listen, so many things in life are like that, right? It's like, if I'm not having food because I'm fasting, it's like empowering. But yep. If you don't have any food because you're starving, then you're in a rough spot. So most of life is like that. Our choice in the matter completely alters our perception of the action.
Exactly, man. All right, on. Well, okay, so you're wearing a Reservoir Dogs t-shirt, not a band t-shirt right now, but as someone who's, you know, grown up in metal and everything, I'm assuming you've had a fair share of metal t-shirts. What was your first band t-shirt you ever purchased?
My brother and I went to Wildwood in New Jersey. Like, it's like a beach area.
Okay.
In New Jersey. And, you know, like they would have all these shops. So we each bought a Pantera shirt.
Nice.
And then we took those shirts and then we went to see Pantera, like, you know, maybe, you know, 6 months or something after that, and wore our shirts. And I still have one of the shirts. Nice. I still have it. So I was like 15, 16 years old. That's number one, baby.
Right on. Mine was not as metal. It was a No Doubt t-shirt from Target.
Okay. Okay. That's right. How old were you though?
I think I was like 12 or 13.
So. Did you buy it with your money or did your parents?
No, my mom bought it for me.
Okay. Does that count though? Well, I guess. I don't know. I can't remember. Like, I'm sure I had some of my own money. I would do like chores for my grandfather and stuff. So.
Okay. So I'm curious about, there's a film you just mentioned, going to Wildwood. You said Wildwood.
Yeah.
So on HBO Max, there's a special about a New Jersey water park called Action Park.
Yes.
Did you go to Action Park?
No, I okay. But I'm the perfect age though to remember Action Park, because I was born in 80, so I was like the perfect demographic. I would see commercials for it on TV all the time, and I'd hear about people going, but I was like notoriously afraid of like roller coasters and stuff like that. So I went to what was called, you know, I know it's called Six Flags Everywhere, but it was called Great Adventure. Mm-hmm. And I remember we went and I literally went on nothing and on no rides. I was like scared to death. So I'm a big scaredy cat when it comes to that stuff. I overcame a lot of it through the years. I've slowly started to get into it, but it's not one of my great things I can brag about.
All right. Well, if you're curious, watch that documentary. It's narrated by Johnny Knoxville. It's brutal.
I watched it like the day it came out.
Okay,
I was as soon as I saw the trailer, I was like, I need to work. Because
hell injuries.
But it was on HBO Max, right?
Yep.
So I remember that was like right when HBO Max came out. It was one of the first things that was
the reason I got HBO Max.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's insane. And brother, and I knew nothing about all the corruption behind the scenes and all stuff that was going on. But I love that stuff. I mean,
yeah.
Like they just came out with the Woodstock 99 one.
Oh my God.
Last, you know, a couple weeks ago, and that I was like, just serve me all that stuff up on a spoon, like all the stuff that I remember from years ago, but never knew how messed up it actually was behind the scenes. Just give me that. I just want to know how screwed up everything was. I love it.
Yeah.
My takeaway from that was, I was like, that was the last time rock music was ever at the forefront of the culture.
Mm.
And to some degree, it was like we had the spotlight, and it's not that we blew it, but what happened got put on rock. And so we became kind of the redheaded stepchild. You got pushed to the back of the bus for the next 20 years, you know? And I think it has a lot to do with that event, even though, like I said, I think it was a scapegoating moment.
That's a good point, man. We're getting deep, dude.
I mean, I have a lot of thoughts on that because, like I said, absolutely. I think people take it personally. Like, well, yeah. well, nu metal sucked. I'm like, yeah, I mean, you could look at it that way, but it's like,
there's a lot more going on there.
Yeah. I mean, you hear about the one guy dying during Metallica. It was like, Metallica's not nu metal. Metallica's just Metallica. But is it Metallica's fault that there was just crazy shit going on at that? I mean, it's hard to say. It just happened to be predominantly what the lineup looked like. You know, it was kind of amazing. Think about it. It was the biggest festival in the world, and it's like Megadeth is closing.
Yeah.
Like, it would, crazy. Think about how different the world is in terms, like, if it was now, it'd be like Doja Cat headlining, yeah, or like, yeah, Post Malone. Like, we're such a different culture in terms of like what people are into. It's kind of amazing to think that rock and metal was that big at that moment.
Absolutely.
You know, it's kind of fascinating.
Absolutely, man. So in case you're just tuning in, and I'm talking with Doc Coyle from Bad Wolves and also the X-Man podcast, looking forward to the new Bad Wolves album coming out sometime by the end of the year. Is that you were saying, by the end of the year?
Yeah, I haven't been given I know the date as far as I know, but I haven't been given
the okay
to watch, to say it. But I imagine a lot of those announcements will be coming like very soon.
Cool.
In the next few weeks.
Awesome, man. Well, my last question is a question we ask everyone we talk to. If you could show us, but if not, just tell us, pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got it.
What do you mean a star on my body?
A scar.
Oh, a scar. Yeah. I mean, the only scars I really have is like my back surgery from last October. Then there's a scar on my left hand. Mm-hmm. And it was actually the date of the first God Forbid show ever. We played Stone Pony in 1998. Mm-hmm. And me and my brother got into an argument. And like, there was a scuffle over the keys. And actually, my wrist got slashed with the keys by my brother.
That is a very memorable scar, though. So you'll always remember the first God Forbid show.
Yeah, well, it just goes to show you, even at the great heights, there was always some acrimony bubbling underneath.
I like it. All right, man. Doc Coyle, check out his podcast, X-Man Podcast. He's always busy interviewing some rad guests every week. And of course, we're looking forward to the new Bad Wolves. And I appreciate you taking the time, man.
Listen, no problem. Thank you for having me. I've been traveling a lot. I actually do quite a lot of interviews because a lot of other podcasts want to have me on. I always try and help them out. So it's like nice to kind of dust off my interview legs.
Yeah, get back into it.
Listen, I really appreciate you having me. This has been a lot of fun.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.